appreciate Doris tonight for obeying God and sharing what's on her heart, and I'm expecting more and more of that to come. As you offer yourself and keep pushing, God's going to do mighty things out of that. And we appreciate her and appreciate all of you for being here tonight. I want to go ahead and get dug in and cut into the meat a little bit, if you will. Turn to John in the 18th chapter, and we'll start tonight from the 15th verse. I thank God for another great week that He's blessed us with. I thank Him for a new year that He's given us, another opportunity to get to see Him be glorified even greater than He has been before. Lots of tragedy that's been among us all over the world over the past month, and it's only growing worse, my friends. And we need to have our eyes open to see that even the very land of God is being in jeopardy. And we ought to pray for Israel and remember them during this time. We ought to remember our loved ones in our country and not just take it for granted that all is well with us. We need to remember there's a battle going on. There is a fight going on, and it's not just carnal. It's something that's very spiritual, and we need to be involved in that fight. We don't just need to fold, give up, and say, devil, take all my stuff. We need to have a bit of boldness about us to say, we serve a great big God. We serve a mighty God. We serve an all-omnipresent God, an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God. And we ought not lose heart during these times, but rejoice concerning when we would be afraid. So we need to learn how to rejoice more. Brother, you crazy. I'm going to rejoice in tribulation. I don't know about you. You can sit down and give up if you want to. But God gave us the ability to rejoice. So this might be some cold service, you know, out there. But I'm here to tell you, if you rejoice, you can have all kinds of warmth in your spirit. Let's go ahead and start reading. Verse 15 of the 18th chapter of John. Here we go. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest and spake unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing? Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I have said. Now I want you to make a little mark or pinpoint or thumb your way back to verse 21. And if I don't get there, you tell me to get back there. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? Now Annas had sent him unto Caiaphas the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Father God, tonight I ask that you use this word out of your scripture, that you place a divine reminder in our hearts, and let this word come alive in our spirits. God, and I pray that in each and every temple of God in here tonight, that you move out every bit of junk that's sitting in the way. God, that you move out every hard heart that's in the way. God, that you remove every bit of confusion and fear out of the way. And tonight that you would be magnified in this place by your word. For God, I know and believe that you have anointed and appointed this time for us to be here tonight. Lord, and I'll not lose heart, and I'll believe and offer myself to you. God, bless this word and let it be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. So we find that prior to this, that we see that Peter had received the warning from Christ that as he would continually to deny him, that he would hear the rooster crow. And a lot of us have read this scripture, taught this scripture, saw it in Sunday school, saw it in devotionals, saw it in text messages, and we have this common interpretation of what we're reading here. And it took me a long time as I was studying this to truly see what God was trying to pull out of me. But I'm here to tell you today that it is becoming more and more difficult to identify a Christian in the world. Is that all right? It's becoming more and more difficult for people to identify in us that we love God. It's easy to identify by maybe what we wear or what we enjoy to do, or maybe easy to identify when we go out to eat somewhere how much that we like food, or maybe based on where we live, people can sort of figure out where you like to go and the hobbies and recreations you like to enjoy. Some are mountain folks, some are river folks, some are the ones that drive all the way to the beach. You know, people can identify those things in us by the things we post, by the things we talk about amongst each other, by the things we talk about in our workplace. But I'm finding that this scripture is coming out to me in an entirely new and different way. And that is that when you read here in verse 21, and let's start at 20. He said, I spoke openly to the world. Think about that. Jesus did not hide himself or his identity to those whom he wanted to know about his Father. He did not put it behind some sugarcoating, if you will. He spoke the truth to people. And I'm here to tell you, there's something powerful about these verses here. I know that we know about what it talks about when it's talking about wanting to deny the Lord. And we've heard that sermon so many times. But when I read this, he's talking about that he spoke openly to the world. He taught in the synagogue and in the temple, wherever the Jews would resort. And in secret, he did nothing or said nothing. Why askest thou me? And I like this part right here. This is powerful. He said, ask them which heard me. Ask them which heard me. You know what he was doing? He was instilling the identity of Christianity into his followers, that once the divine purpose of his sacrifice was completed, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would not stop with him, but it would continue on in those that had beheld him. Now, we weren't in the age, my friends, where we got to behold him, but how many of you have heard about that Jesus? How many of you know about that Jesus? He is something special to you, and that's something that we are keeping more quiet than we should. I don't want to sound political, and I don't want to sound like an eloquent, bold speaker right now, but if there's ever a time where we need to be identified by hanging the blood of the Lamb inside of our life, it's today. If there's ever a time where people need to hear it in our everyday speech and everyday conversation, we'd get to the place where we can convert people and stop spinning our tires all the time inside of the four walls of a denomination and start reaching hurting and broken people that are in our nation. My friends, if they're ever going to hear the gospel, they're going to hear it through you. They're not going to hear it through a tape. They're not going to hear it through some prophecy that you want them to play. They're going to need to hear it from each and every one of us in this place. You agree with that? If you do, say amen. They've got to hear it from us. We've got to teach people. We've got to teach people. How do you teach people? How do you teach something to someone who already feels like they know it?
Do you know how? You let them see your failures. Because you know what? None of us in this room have it all figured out, do we? We don't. We come short sometimes and fail sometimes, and we get broken and confused and aggravated, and all these things happen, and you know, 1 week turns to 2 weeks turn to 2 months, and we're looking back and saying, why did I ever give up? Has anybody been there? I've been there. I've been to that place where it was like I was coming in the door, but whatever was going on inside of me, I was wherever it was, and I was just a body in the pew. And when people needed to see me live my life in service to God, they couldn't find it because they couldn't hear it, they couldn't see it, they couldn't identify what it was that was in my temple. Let me tell you something, friends. There is time that we not just be a professor of our faith, but we need to be a doer of our faith. We need to exhibit the almighty anointing of God again. I don't know about you tonight, but I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost on me right now. And I'm here to tell you it's time that we no longer be ashamed of what it is that lives inside of us. Somebody say, Holy Ghost, you've got the Holy Ghost inside of you. You've got a praise inside of you. You've got joy inside of you. Whether the devil lets you see it or not, I'm here to tell you, you've got joy inside of you. And it's time that you identify with who God is inside of your heart. God is not fear. God is not failure. God is not anger, nor is he confusion. And if that's what you are identifying with right now, then you are not being represented to who God really is. Let me tell you tonight, God is not depression. God is not sickness. God is not depression. He is not failure. He is not defeat. He is everything but what we choose to associate with. So let me ask you, who are your friends? Let me introduce you to my friend Complaint. We go way back. We go to Christmases together. We go to job interviews together. Oh, he's definitely got my back when I've got an anger problem. When I'm unhappy. Our identity directly defines our blessings. What we associate ourselves with will define our outcome. It's good to be identified as a part of the body. It is. I've got my name on the book here. In fact, I transferred it from somewhere else. If you read it on paper, you can identify my name with this place. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? It's so much more than that. When people get in your midst, what do they see in you? What do they hear in you? Beyond sitting in here for an hour or two. Hallelujah. Beyond standing up and giving God praise when everybody else does. What is it that they identify in you? And I find that Peter was beginning to have one of the greatest lessons he would ever endure. He was first identified by people that knew him, right? And he began to deny his knowledge or identity to Jesus Christ. And I want to be real open about this. Denial is not something that is easy to overcome as much as it is when you begin to accept that which is in front of you. Let me tell you something. If you're living in denial of a thing, then you have not come to the acceptance of a thing. If you are living in denial, can I say it again? If you're living in denial of a thing, then you've not come to acceptance of a thing. What are you telling me, brother? If you are denying the fact that you're not obeying God like you should, if you're denying the fact that you're anointed to speak in tongues, if you're denying that you've got a joy in your feet, if you're denying that you know the teachings of God, then let me tell you, no matter how much you tell me that you say you know it, if I can't identify by the way you live it, honey, I don't know if you've got it. You're gonna know what you've got when you identify with it. It's real easy to fake it. Are we going to go here or are we going to pretend? But when you fake it, you're still living in denial. I can't tell you how many times it'd be so easy to live in denial of my calling. To say, well, Pastor Doris, I know she's going to be there. And if I just tell her, you know, I'm not ready tonight and I just don't have it, that she can go ahead. But here's the deal. When I deny myself, you know what I'm really doing? I'm not accepting who I am. We need to accept who we are. Can we do that together? We're saved, redeemed children of God. Do you agree? If you don't, you need the Lord. We're saved, right? One person saved tonight. I praise the Lord for that. We saved, right? All right, we got a few more in here. We're saved, right? All right. We've got salvation. We identify with salvation. We're spirit-filled, right? Uh-oh. See, that's the thing. That's what God's showing me out of this. So he gets approached again as he's just trying to blend in with the scene, not wanting to be noticed, not wanting to be identified above other people. Aren't you that Peter that was a follower of that Jesus? No. So what is it that he's really doing here? Is it that he's denying Christ? Or is it that he's not accepting him? See, Jesus already knew that he was going to deny his profession. But I don't believe Jesus was concerned over the fact that he was denying him amongst people. I think he was more concerned about the fact that he was not accepting him amongst people. Because I tell you, to be honest with you, we can come in here every single time that it says on the sign. And if we're not going to identify with the true, pure anointing of God, then all we're doing is blending in. But we were not called to blend in with the world. We were called to be distinct, right? We were called to be different, right? We were called to be separated from the mold of the world. That means that when I talk, I'm going to talk in a separate manner than what I hear in the world. When I behave, I'm going to behave differently than what the world would do. And if the world decided to come to church with me tonight, I'm going to praise my God like I am distinct and different from everything else that's around me. You want to be different? You've got to set yourself apart. Peter was just trying to blend in. Then it got pretty plain, right? Then there's the guy that was involved in the incident of the ear, we'll call it. We have children in here. I won't go over that story. The incident, we'll call it the incident of the ear. So the guy, one of the people from the ear incident, is like, wait a minute. I know you. Trust me, when you make somebody mad, they're not going to forget you, are they? No. They'll remember it for 20 years. You do something good for somebody, they'll forget it tomorrow. You do something wrong, they'll never forget. Isn't it funny how that works? So he's standing there and he's saying, I know you from an actual event. But yet he still denied the fact, right? See, here's the thing with me. I've been saved. I've been filled with the Spirit, and I've been called. But if I won't identify when it counts, then we are doing a disservice to our fellow man. And truthfully, the blood is only on the hands of those who will not accept it. Whether you want to accept it or not, you're blessed and highly favored. Did you know that? You're called to be healed. You're called to have sound mind. You're called to be prosperous. Did you know that? God's promises are yes and yes. He would not deny you his good pleasure. But do we associate ourselves with that? Or are we labeled by what we go through? Are we labeled by our mistakes? Do people only know us for our attitude? Oh, don't get around Brother Jared when he gets fired up. That ain't what you want. Not that I'm trying to scare you. Don't say such and such around Brother Jared. He'll get fired up with you. Do we want to be known in that way? When we act out of godly character, let me tell you, you're writing about your witness something that will be hard to erase. There are people that all the time, without even knowing it, because of my generosity, just take advantage of the fact that they know that I know computers, right? Do they send me a check in the mail after I fix it? No. Do they bother to call me a week later and just check in on me how I'm doing? No, of course not. That's life. That's how it goes. But does that change how I should love them? Now, it'd be real easy to say, well, they've not called me. They didn't pay me. Therefore, next time I'm around them, we'll just see how much free tech support they get. Real world example tonight. Is that okay? Or, by the selfless act of doing it without anything in return, do we not yet pave the way for them to know Christ? When the world will deny them, we are to be the ones to help them. Right? Bless those that despitefully use you, that would curse you. Bless your enemies. Pray for your enemies. I tell you, it's about to get real. I tell you, my anointing, my ability to enunciate in the Holy Spirit did not grow at the level that it did in my life until I stopped living in denial. Listen, there is things in all of us that could be better. Like it or love it. You can deny it if you want. There are things in all of us that could be better today. Not tomorrow. Not after it gets fixed. Right now. And they're the things, my friend, that keep you, that are separating you from who you're supposed to be. God has a plan for what He wants you to do. It has nothing to do with your age. It has nothing to do with your denomination, nor your gender, nor ethnicity, nor your background or education. It has everything to do with what you live with, what you associate with, and what you let define you. If I'm blessed and if I've not been too hard on myself in a past life, and God tarries His coming, I hope to at least make it to my 60s. I'm not being unreasonable. I hope to make it there. I hope I do. But more than that, above health, above retirement, above having a family, I hope to goodness that each day that I live, that when people see me, they see God. Isn't that what it's about? That when people know you and know your love and know your heart, isn't that what it's about? That they find God in you. There are people at the church I used to go to that are no longer here, but do you know they're still just as much here with me today as they've ever been? Why is that, brother? Do you remember what they wore? No. Do you remember the sound of their voice? No. I remember the impact, the godly impact that people have had on my life, and they were not just a little pat on the back. Let me tell you, my friend, encouragement are stepping stones to greater blessings and greater territory in God. You need to look
over at the person next to you and remind them that God loves them. You need to remind your children every day with encouragement that God is there for them. You need to let that kind of love be what you identify with. If you want to be happy, put yourself in a situation where you're surrounded with happiness. If you want to be full of joy, get out of the things that are on your mind that keep you pulled down. My Lord, I feel this all over me. If we're ever going to get out of depression, if we're ever going to get out of oppression, if we're ever going to get out of the enemy constantly tormenting our mind, we've got to get our mind on heavenly things and to start thinking about the potential of God.
I'm coming to a close with this. I don't want to wear you out, and I know it's cold out there. But I want to go back to this last part and read this again.
So it's not in, I believe it's in either Matthew or Luke's passage, but after he hears the last rooster crow, the scripture said that he went outside from where he was and he wept. There is a moment that God is preparing for you. I hope you hear this and never forget it. God is preparing a moment for you where you can step outside of your denial and weep to Him to accept the things you don't want to. Because the sooner you come to acceptance of your problems, the sooner God can get involved to fix them. How can we let God intervene if we won't let go of it? How can we expect things to improve around us until we let go of what afflicts us? We can't. And then we come in and we sit and we're upset, we're aggravated, we're frustrated, we dread going home. We dread going back to work. We dread dealing with the situation again. And let me tell you, when you're out there and it's all that you're dealing with, it's what's associating with you. And I would will to God that we look for those moments where we can come and weep again. Truth be known, we all have problems. We all have a dark place in our life, a thorn in the flesh, things that we need constant care to have victory over. If it were so that we were totally victorious, we'd never be emotionally affected by anything. But is there anyone in here that can say that? Or when things have happened, has it not rocked you? Has it not shook you? Has it not made you think differently about what you've read in the Bible before? I know we all have been in that place. This isn't conventional. This isn't Perry Stone. This isn't T.D. Jakes preaching. This isn't Jensen Franklin preaching. This is not even Jared preaching tonight. God is calling for His people to come back to Him and cry out and surrender the things that we are living in denial of. And I say this in the most polite of ways. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? He's calling for His people to come back to Him and to cry out for forgiveness of the things that we will not accept. Listen, if you've got a bit of an anger problem, everybody in the world has had a bit of an anger problem, but you can't keep it. Do you hear me? You can't keep it. You can't hold on to grudges. You can't hold on to saying I'll never get better. You can't hold on to that because you pollute the sense of yourself. Light and darkness have no fellowship. Bitter and sweet waters cannot dwell together.
God and the enemy will not settle together in the same temple. It was made by design that it would be one of two masters. You'll love one and you'll hate the other. That's big talk, right? It hit me all over this afternoon. Because as I read that, I began to think about what is it that I'm denying? And if we want to talk about silly things, I'm sure that I could live in denial of what my weight is, or what my age is, or how many miles are really on my car, or how many miles I've put on my tires. I could live in denial of the fact that I have an electric bill, but I don't want to pay it. There's plenty of examples you can use there, but what I'm talking about is what is keeping you from being the almighty, all-powerful Christian that you can be. So what is that? Can I ask the big question tonight? What is that? Take 10 seconds and think about it. You already know what it is. We don't even need 2 seconds, do we? We can look in our heart right now and know exactly what it is, present state, that's keeping us from being who we can be. I can't get rid of it for you. I can say in the name of Jesus, I can lay on of hands and believe with all that's in me, lest God perform a divine miracle. There is something that you've got to do to be a part of the equation. I would have never been free from drugs had I not said yes to God. And I'll never live my life without acknowledging what I had to come to acceptance of. I had a problem. And that problem was not easy to overcome. And it was far easier to deny the problem than to accept the fact that I had one. And truthfully, we can say we're Christians. We can say we have a church. We can say we go to church all the time. We can be a deacon, a priest, a pastor, a chaplain, a minister. We can be whatever you want to call it. But if we're not associating with what makes it real, then we're missing the purpose of the gospel. There's a whole lot of churches that are going through the same famine. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think it's just here? Go somewhere. You'll find it's everywhere. It has begun. It has begun. And we have to be the generation that will be distinguished. The one that is looking for his coming. The ones that will come back to him and give up our problems. It has never been more convenient to sin than now. You can write that down and quote me on that. It has never been more convenient to sin than today. And whatever you live with, whatever it is that you do, it's what defines who you are. Goes back to the expression, you are what you eat. It shows us who we truly are. And listen, I'm going to be the first to confess, I've got a lot of work to do. I'm not even pointing fingers tonight. Don't get me wrong. I've got a lot of work to do. And I hope that by sharing my experience, that it makes you think about in your life if there's anything that you can improve in you. Because if we keep doing the same thing, I fear there won't be a place to attend. Do you hear me? If we keep doing the same thing, there won't be a future state. It'll be in the past. We'll say, I remember going to church. I remember being a part of the choir. I remember being a Sunday school teacher. We'll look back on it and no longer be associated with it. I thank God every day that I wake up in the morning. When you're that close to death and you get a second chance, you never forget it. When you've had that kind of experience with God, it should stir you every time you're in here. So let me close with this. I want to make this rememberable. People will remember you by exactly what you say, what you do. You can tell them where you attend church, but that's not as important as your behavior. You can tell them you only prefer to read King James, but that doesn't define your witness. It's got to be about what you're willing to accept, that you surrender it back to God. Without repentance, we'll never survive. We'll be a pride-filled generation that will have lip service to God, but our heart will be so far away. I've just been in this 10 years, and I've learned that I can't live a single day without Him. Not one. I have to have Him every day. And the more and more that I live in denial of my problems, the further and further He feels. And some of you may be sitting here tonight feeling like you're far away. But I want to tell you, the way you draw close to God, this is powerful. The way you draw close to God is if you draw close to your issues, that God may have them. Would you leave a crying child alone if you heard it persist in its cry? Absolutely not. It's the same reflex God has for His people. If we'll only cry out and repent. So that's my call to you. Will you go from here? Will you look inside of your heart and find the things maybe you're saying when people see that you could improve and you're saying, no, it's just got to be this way. I've been telling people so much, I aggravate them like a broken record. You're living beneath your potential. You're not living up to your calling, because if you were, if I did, if we all would, we'd see so much more happening than we would right now. I'm hoping for the day that the anointing of God is so powerful, before it's all said and done, that we get one last mighty rushing wind to blow through this earth again. And I hope that I'm a part of that, and I've not grown numb in this world to be so blended that I would not know God if He came by my way. In order to do that, my friends, in me, I've got to sit down every day with God and say, okay, what do I not need in here? What thoughts do I not need in my mind anymore? Right? How can I improve my behavior than what I did yesterday? Oh, I can count on my fingers and toes how many times that I've walked away from a conversation saying, man, why did I say that? Or why didn't I say more? Driving on the way home and saying, Lord, why didn't I just lift up my hand when I felt You? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't I magnify You when I felt You? We got to stop being like a Peter that denied God. Peter went on in his ministry. It didn't end there, did it? There was a moment of revelation in his life, and he realized in order to thrive, he had to come to acceptance of God no matter what. It was identified in him. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Have I got you thinking tonight? Go out of here and go through this week, and whenever you feel it hit you, that's when you need to pray about it. It doesn't have to be a hard prayer. This is good stuff right here. It doesn't have to be a hard prayer. It doesn't have to be difficult. You just simply let God have it when you're dealing with it. Lord, take my frustration. There's been some times I've been on the phone in my office and somebody will smart off to me and there's a pause for about 8 to 10 seconds, because in my mind I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I'm about to make a mistake and I need Your peace right now. That's how suddenly God can move for you. Do you know that? Well, I heard you've been preaching too long, brother. Everybody says think before you speak. Let me say it like this: pray before you think. And that'll take care of the speak. So, if I've got anything across tonight, I hope you remember this. People say we're living in denial, but truthfully, we're not coming to acceptance of things. And until we learn to accept them, we'll never surrender them. You cannot repent of which you will not let go. You can't. And if you want to keep going on weeks and weeks and months and hitting that place of defeat, I cannot change that for you. But you can. You can. You sure can. You don't have to live that way. God said, whosoever will, let him come. It's powerful. I'm going to close right there. I love you all. You know that.